Hey, thanks for joining us. You're listening to Living Fountains with Pastor Jim Stewart of Calvary Chapel, Kansas City. Today, we're in the New Testament, in the book of John. If you're in a place to grab your Bible and follow along with us, we invite you to do so. And if you'd like more information on Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, you can visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. Now, let's join Pastor Jim for today's study.
There's no doubt that sin in and of itself is an extremely grievous matter. And the fact that sin, the Bible says, separates us from our God. And I read this story and it makes me fall more and more in love with my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Every time I think about this story, every time I read this story, I see a Savior that has got such awesome compassion and such a capacity for love. There is not a person here. There is not a person listening. That is not a person within earshot of this that doesn't know the grievousness of sin and the breach that it causes and that weird empty feeling that you get in your stomach when you know, like, oh, this is not good. Can you imagine this gal being torn from that situation, probably stark naked? That's probably the reality of this. I would say, for most people, that's pretty embarrassing enough. Wouldn't you think? Torn stark naked from being caught in a sinful situation, being dragged up and put in front of one of the kind of popular rabbis. Kind of a rogue guy, yeah, but still dragged through up to the temple area, out into these courts, there's all these different groups meeting, listening to different things, and there's Jesus and being brought up and put right in front of it. Hey, look at this is what went on here. You know, when we really see this for what it is, this right here, you pointing your finger at everybody else's sin, pointing it out, making sure they know their faults. Be very cautious. Be very cautious. All have sinned, the Bible says, and fallen short of the glory of God. Now, when we get into this a little bit further, we have to discuss this a little bit in depth, just a little bit, to kind of grab a hold of the reality that we're not here to point out everybody else's sin. That's not our role. Now, that I'm saying that, it's not our role to endorse everybody's sin either. So there's this balance, this fine line that we're to walk to understand that when Jesus talked on the Sermon on the Mount about not judging, what was he talking about? He said, you're not to judge, I'm not to judge to condemnation, but I'm to have some good discernment. I'm to understand, that is sin, that will not be fruitful, I got to turn away from that and go the other direction. I do not need to be a party to that. I do not need to endorse that. I don't want to condone that. I can't be a part of any of that. But that being said, on the same token, so I'm not supposed to judge to condemnation. In other words, I can see something, acknowledge what it is, and say, hey, whoa, you need to be really careful. That could lead to some serious destructive things. Be cautious. That could, yes, that's legit. But saying something, one can be to help someone, and one is just flat out condemnation. It's not our place to condemn others. Their own sin condemns them, right? My own sin condemned me apart from Jesus Christ. So these guys, the religious, those who are not in close fellowship or any type of fellowship, but I have to say this because I think this happens amongst believers. So that gets a little sticky because that's not really behavior of a believer, is it? Not really. And so when we look at this, we've got to look and see, well, what is Jesus really saying here? As this situation starts to unfold, these people bring this gal in. And again, you can just imagine the total humility and the shame that is associated for this person and what's going on for her. Knowing that likely she's probably going to lose her life. If these guys have her their way, she's going to be dead. This is all, you can imagine how freaked this person must be. You know, that's one of the things I love about the Lord, though, is I remember how freaked I was when I realized how messed up I was without God in my life. I was literally freaked out internally. Massive implosions were happening inside me. It is forever and ever and ever etched into my heart and my mind. And this is one of the reasons I do what I do. I will never, ever forget that day, that period of time that led up to that, and the reality of, man, I'm really messed up. I really need help. Man, when you know the one that reaches down, and brothers and sisters, you're all just like me. I'm not the only messed up person here. We're all that person. But the difference is, a lot of times we won't continually acknowledge it. The reality is, I am a split second away from a really foolish decision every day that could ruin my entire life. Why do you say? Well, because I interact with people all day long, every day, who have made a split second decision that ruined their life. There's hope, though, in Jesus Christ. That is what we're going to get to right now. But we have to taste this. We have to remember what sin does. It creates an entire breach, and it causes horrible, horrible results. It brings death in situations, in relationships. Only God can restore. Only God can fix. Only God can heal. The shame, the humiliation that's here, that same shame, Jesus knows in his heart, in his mind, inside of him, he knows what she's feeling, what's going on for her, is what is going to be happening to him as he's on the cross. Because all of the sin and the shame of the world was put upon the weight of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. See, we're starting to get a little bit of a taste of this now, a little more clarity, that humility of being pulled from a situation of sexual immorality and being torn from that situation, that seemingly sexual ecstasy that's going on, and being ripped from that and being taken and pulled up naked and standing before Jesus. Oh, how horrifying. How embarrassing. You're standing up there with all your privates just right there, and everybody's looking at you. That's the kind of shame. That's the sin. And much more graphic and much worse than any of that is what Jesus felt on the cross. That's what he died for, because he loves you and he loves this world. And look at how he handles this situation. I love my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because of his response, because this is his consistent response throughout all time and all eternity, this is his response. And this ought to, brothers and sisters, be my response and your response. You see, we live in a dying world that is separated from God. And we lull through and we gossip and we chit-chat and we share nuggets of trash with other people, wasting time, absolutely wasting time, thinking that how are you helping the kingdom with anything like that, any of us? We're not. That's of no assistance. Man, Jesus handles this so wonderfully, so miraculously, so gloriously, so compassionately. Verse 6, they said this, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger, the finger of God. Jesus is God. Remember that. This is the same finger that wrote the Ten Commandments to begin with. You remember Exodus? You remember? It's the same finger of God. The three in one, the triune Godhead, the living Word, wrote that same thing, the Ten Commandments, with the finger of God, and now stoops down with that same finger, as though he did not hear. He didn't even acknowledge what they were doing in front of him. You see, When you and I are accusing and sin sniffing and, you know, Ricky Rule finding with everybody, pointing the finger, Jesus doesn't even acknowledge what they're saying. It's basically demonic. Satan is the accuser of the brethren. He's not going to receive that. Look at what he does. So when they continued asking him, they kept bugging him about it, he raised himself up and said to them, "He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first." And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. This word "wrote" is an interesting word. In the Greek, it means he was writing. It wasn't just that he was writing. He was writing something against them. It wasn't just he was just haphazardly just writing something. Well, one, we know Jesus doesn't do things like that anyway. And you know what? Look through your New Testament, and you come. We'll talk about it next week if you'd like to. You let me know how many places you find where you ever see Jesus writing anything. This sure shut things down fast. I love it. This is how Jesus deals with the accusations of sin in someone's life. This is how Jesus dealt with that. He stooped down and wrote on the ground. Why? Because he knew their hearts aren't right. They're not trying to help this gal. They're trying to trap him. You see, this motivation is completely ill-begotten. And those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience. Now you say, oh, so a lot of these guys, they're all caught up in adultery? Well, you remember, though. You remember. Jesus gave definition. Remember that? You remember Jesus gave definition about that? If you have lust in your heart, you've already sinned. Jesus said that in the Sermon on the Mount. He kind of gave the real meaning to the law in aspects on the Sermon on the Mount because it was what was going on in the heart and mind of an individual. So who knows the kind of things that were written there? The deep recesses of perversity that maybe weren't displayed outwardly but were happening on the inside. And Jesus, knowing the heart, takes the finger of God and starts to write down. Now again, remember, these are the people that are accusing this other person because of their own personal piety, their religiosity, they're the righteous people, and this is why we've got to be so cautious. This is why I needed, brothers and sisters, to paint such a graphic, clear, definitive picture of sin again for us. Because sometimes we just get so lulled into this thing that it's just okay, it's not that big a deal, really. It causes a breach between you and God. It's a pretty big deal. It is a big deal. And we need to deal with that. I love how God deals with it. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the oldest to the last. Jesus started with the eldest, just started writing something. And they seen that. Oh, wow. Looks like it's time for me to go. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. The greatest thing that'll ever happen to a person is to be left standing alone, naked, in front of Jesus Christ. See, that's what happens when you really meet the Lord. It's just you and your sin. And it's the greatest thing that can ever happen to you. Because Jesus can look at you with perfect love like no other human being, like no other person, like nothing else on the face of this earth. He can look at you with perfect love, with perfect compassion, with the ability to forgive, with the ability to cleanse. As we stand there, it's the greatest thing that can ever happen. It's horrible in the instant, but its result is precious beyond belief. When Peter used that word a lot, strong, buff Peter, when he used that word a lot, it means, man, beyond calculation, precious. Beyond calculation. Can't put numbers to this, the value of it. One by one they left, beginning with the oldest and to the last. And then now left alone, standing there, the woman with Jesus. When Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, "Woman, where are your those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you?" Jesus is standing there with her. What kind of a statement does that make? There's no one else there but Jesus and her. And she knows who she is. She knows what she's done. But there's no one standing there but her and him. And he says, "Where are those accusers of yours?" You see, Jesus isn't accusing. You see, Jesus isn't accusing you. Our own sin accuses us. It's the indictment against us from the curse from Adam. It's our nature that we've been born with. But Jesus knows that. He knows we are dust and that we were made from that. He knows that. He knows who you are and what you're all about. Has no one condemned you? Is there no one here that's got a rock? You see, God's never called us to be rock throwers. If you're a rock thrower, just repent of it. Just stop. For the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ, just stop. You don't have nearly anything figured out like you think you might. Trust me. Put the stones away. Find the deepest ocean and toss them in. Just get rid of them. You know what's so great? It is so liberating to just be able to love people. And the way you can love people is in the same grace that you know that you're that person standing naked before the Lord, and the Lord looks at you and says, "Where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you?" Jesus is the last one standing. One of the greatest things about it is the law, there had to be two, at the minimum, two witnesses. And Jesus isn't going to throw in on any of it. All of them are gone. She's about to be set free. She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." It's not go and stop living, you know, make your life right. It's like, it's not that, it's not that. It's you've been set free. Go. You're free. You don't have, you're free. Sin no more. What a powerful thought. Jesus spoke to them again, saying, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." This person had an encounter with the light of the world, the love of God, Jesus, not condemning, not picking up any stones and throwing them at her, not bringing even an accusation against her, but only love and compassion. What should your response be as a Christian, knowing that you are hid? Read through Ephesians, the first three chapters. All the things you and I are in Christ. Read through Colossians, the things that you and I are in Christ. What we have because we are hid away in Christ. I had a really fairly large bowl of oatmeal this morning with some raisins, brown sugar, some milk, skim milk, of course. Now, yes, in certain ways, I might look like a large bowl of oatmeal, I suppose. But the reality is you see me. Because you don't see the oatmeal. The oatmeal is being assimilated into me. You are that in Christ. You've been assimilated into him. The Father sees you in him. He doesn't see your sin. and the shame. Jesus knowing what he's going to face, all carrying all of that, setting her free as only he could do. He's saying, go, you are in me. You don't have to be bound. You've been set free from the power of sin and death. What a glorious thing. So let's not be too quick or too hasty to condemn or say condemning or think condemning things and pointing out everybody else's sin and fault, because most of the time you'll find out that's mostly the stuff you're struggling with, the things that you're quick to point out on everybody else's end. Now, I understand the Lord brings correction in our lives, and I know that he corrects those whom he loves. I understand that, brothers and sisters. I'm a partaker of that. So let's not confuse all those things up with a stark situation like this, where sin is the issue, and there's a breach between God and a person, and these people are saying, hey, what are we going to do about that? And the religious is always like that. Those who seek to establish a righteousness by means of their own efforts. But brothers and sisters, it is an easy, slippery slope that you and I can fall into quickly, even as Christians, where we can start viewing things that way, and we can start being accusatory and pointing the fingers, and we got three coming back at us. We can say things and think things and come off with these ideas that, you know, well, I don't do that. So what you're saying is you're better than anybody. You got to be really careful, because in grace is where we stand. Unmerited love and favor. Forgiveness is yours. Forgiveness is mine because of what God's done. This shows the heart of my Savior, my Lord Jesus Christ, who came from heaven, walked this earth just like you and me, without sin. You see, Jesus is the only one that's left standing and the only one that would be qualified to throw the stones. He is without sin. He is the only one qualified. And yet says, neither do I. Don't you love the Lord that that's the way he sees you? That's the way he sees us. I don't condemn you either. May we embrace that. May we walk in that. May we know that as followers of Jesus Christ. That's how the Lord sees us. In him, forgiven.
Hi, this is Pastor Jim. I know as you've been listening to the word today that God may very well be speaking to many of you, and maybe some of you just need to come back to the Lord. Maybe some of you need to give your life to the Lord who've never given your lives to the Lord. Jesus said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You know, Jesus said that calling out to those who are burdened with the things of life. And Jesus wants us to come alongside with him. He is gentle and lowly in heart. And that's where we're going to really find rest for our souls. It's a simple prayer of faith. And I just want to pray this simple prayer along with you. So if you just want to pray this, whether you're driving or whether you're sitting at home or wherever you are, you might be in your office, you might have this coming on through your earbuds, but the Lord wants to make himself known to you and for you to have a personal relationship with him. I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about a personal relationship. And it starts by just saying yes to Jesus and giving your life to him. Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. And I want to give my life to you. I want to ask that you would forgive me of all my sin. I want to cast all my cares upon you, knowing that you care for me. And I know that, Lord, I feel weighted down and burdened by the things of this life, and I just want to have that newness of life. And so I ask that you'd come into my life and be my personal Lord and Savior. And I receive you as my Lord and Savior into my heart, and I ask that you would just continue that work that you've begun in my life right now. And I ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you prayed and received the Lord into your heart today, we'd love to hear from you.
You can contact us or another Bible teaching church in your area so you can be encouraged in your new journey. If you'd like more information about Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, simply visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. And you can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/CalvaryChapelKC. Also, Living Fountains podcasts are available in the iTunes store, and you can download them at no cost. If you're in the Kansas City area and you'd like to join us for worship, we meet in Overland Park on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights. The service times and directions can be found on calvarychapelkc.com, or you can simply contact the church office at 913-681-1635. It's been great spending time with you in God's Word, and we look forward to you joining us next time on Living Fountains. Jesus, God.